America's flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible.
Had the opportunity to attend a meeting the other day that was put on by the San Jacinto College District concerning the Maritime Campus that they're expecting to construct down here on the south end of Broadway. And I thought their presentation was fantastic, and have invited them, or at least given them the opportunity, to present us with that same information to help better educate the council as well as citizens as to what we can expect during that construction time frame, and then what it is they're trying to accomplish as our new neighbors. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce the San Jacinto College District representatives.
Thank you, Mayor and council members and citizens, for being here today. I'm Brenda Hellyer, and I'm the chancellor of San Jacinto College. I have been the chancellor since May of 2009, but I've been employed at the college since 2000, and I've lived in the area for about 21 years. And so I look at this as not only do I have a love for the college, but I have a love for the whole region that we serve, and actually the greater Houston region. I have several members with us today, but I'm going to get started, and then I'll introduce them as it goes. This facility started being dreamed of probably 5 years ago, not knowing the location, but it was really the impact of, and this is what we're going to cover tonight. And I want to make sure you know, I have about 14 slides, but we have plenty of time that we can have questions also. But I thought the slides might help you understand a little bit more about kind of the format of where we're heading. But this facility was really based on looking at the workforce needs and listening to our industry partners on what was needed. And as you look at this, you can see that there is a real demand for maritime workers. Only 1% of the workforce is in their 20s. Over half of them are at retirement age. And there's been a lot of changes around the requirements, the certification, and again, a ongoing trend with what's changing in that field. And with the growth that we see with Panama Canal expansion, with what you see with the different levels of freight, we saw that there was a real need for this program. So we started meeting with industry leaders just to understand what the needs were, how we were going to put together a program. And in February of 2010, we rented a facility on 225. It's about 10,000 square feet. And what we're doing there is United Coast Guard approved training. And we learned a lot from that. How we would normally put 30 people in a classroom, that's not what really happens in Coast Guard classes. And so we've learned what we need to do differently. We started with grant funding. We had grant funding to do training, and we had grant funding to buy equipment. And what we have done since then is we have an applied science degree with international business and logistics, and it has a maritime component. We do that at our North Campus. We also have an agreement with Texas A&M University in Galveston to feed into their program with a ship and shippings course that we're doing at our South Campus. And then we have an associate degree program in maritime technology that got approved by the state this past year. And so we're working through that. And this is really, I think, the crux of where we're heading is how do we start getting the maritimers trained? And this is a more well-rounded program. What we've done since we've been in that 225 facility, we have done upgrading of training skills for about 18 incumbent workers in the maritime area. And then we are at the five most popular Coast Guard courses that we're teaching right now. You can see our list. We do a lot of things with simulators. We also, I think you are aware of a lifeboat and davit that we have that we've gone on with grant money that's at the Houston Yacht Club right now. But as we've been developing these programs, it's very clear we need to have hands-on training on the water also. So as we started working through this, there were a lot of different pieces of land. I say a lot. There were several that we looked at, some over by the San Jacinto Monument, looking at what we could really do with that kind of land and what we felt was needed. The land that really came to the table was this piece of property here at the end of Old 146. This property, there's two parcels there. They total about 27 acres, and the parcel that circled is what we were able to buy from the Port of Houston, and it's about 13 acres. When those initial conversations were going on, I was meeting with J.L. Washington, I met with Dolly Aaron, met with Commissioner Burke. We had several meetings at the Houston Yacht Club to make sure we were not surprising anybody with what we were looking at, and making sure also that some areas of concern that had been brought forward before with the court that we were going to be addressing. So we've closed on that property. It took us a long time to close on it. It was about 16 months of negotiations, and we closed on it in February of 2012. And through that time, then we've been doing our due diligence around what the next steps are. So this is the piece of property, and again, 13 acres. And this property is located in Pasadena. It's in the industrial district. But one of the big concerns for us is we know we have a lot of neighbors that we need to be working with. And so the meeting that the mayor referred to earlier was a meeting where we had the mayors of Pasadena, LaPorte, Shore Acres, and then Morgan's Point, and Commissioner Mormon at the table with us, so we could start talking a little bit more about what we've been doing. This is a site layout of the facility and what we're looking at right now. And you've got this in your handouts, and we also do have some of these handouts for the audience. But as I look at this piece of property, we have tried to use the property to get the most capacity out of it. There are 184 parking spots. The building itself is a little less than 45,000 square feet, and this is the building right here. It actually comes around here. This is an area saved for future expansion, if we needed that. And we will be doing training in this channel piece here. And in that channel, there's some erosion going on right now. What we will be doing is putting some sheet piling in there to address that erosion problem. And we will have, that's where we would move our lifeboat and davits to that area. We've been working with the flood control areas to make sure we understand that. Our utilities will come from LaPorte. And the other piece we're working through is some wetlands mitigation, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. The other thing down in here is where we're looking at a dock. That dock is not going to be constructed by the college. It will be constructed by G&H Towing. And with us tonight is Steve Huffman, who's the president of G&H Towing, and so we can talk about that. That will be a dock for them to do shift changes, but it'll also allow for us to do training. And so it's a great partnership, because one of the things with us is how do we build the collaboration and the partnerships. My board set aside in our last bond issue $18 million for this project. We are using every bit of $18 million. So all partnerships are very much appreciated. But so that gives you an overview. The other thing I want to show you is this would be the entrance off of Old 146. We look at putting a monument sign there. That, as we've worked with Department of Transportation to make sure we can put that in. The upper entrance that's right here right now, this is an easement that we had to provide the Port of Houston so they can get to that other 12 acres that's over there. This is a draft. This is still a work in process, but this is what we've kind of envisioned the facility to be. We're looking at two-story, no more than 35 feet high. The bottom part will not be true facility. We'll have some equipment there for training. There'll be parking. And then this is the walkway out to the dock. This is what we've gone through. When we go through a building, we do facility programming. We hire consultants, and they work with our end users. And this particular time, it wasn't just faculty, it was also industry people. And so you can see these are offices back here. This is classroom space. This right here is a simulator area. That simulator area is critical. The Houston Pilots have donated a $1.5 million simulator. This will be state-of-the-art so that we can do training from the deckhands all the way up, that the pilots could use it for their training also. And so that has come to the table, and then we're working through how we will keep that upgraded. This area is glass windows to see out to the water, and these are multi-purpose rooms and then a lobby. The kitchen area, we won't have a full-service kitchen. We'll be bringing in more of a catering kind of kitchen. So that's the layout of the facility. At any one time, we really expect about 100 people on that campus for training. So not like what you would see if you go down Spencer and see my central campus where I have 15,000 people. This is much smaller. This is a real specialty. On the project timeline, I had to write it out because those numbers just go all over the place for me. So the first one is programming. We've been doing that. That's where we get the layout of what we need in the rooms, what we need in the facility itself. And so that's been going on, and that will continue to August 13th. Well, that shows it started in February. It's been going on much, much longer. It's been going on for at least a year. The wetlands mitigation. We sent in an application to the Corps of Engineers. I went down to Galveston and met with the colonel down there. That went in February. It's working through the process. We expect public notice to come out sometime within the next few weeks. And let me go back and I'll show you the area. There's wetlands in this area here where the building will go, and there's also wetlands down here. We're mitigating where the building is. And these aren't natural wetlands. They're caused more from maybe water settling over time, erosion, that kind of thing. So we're mitigating in the middle there. On the rest of the timeline, we've been working through design. We will continue through design through December. Site work, if everything gets approved with the Corps of Engineers and the wetlands, would start sometime in January or February. We figure site work would go through about May. And then building construction would start April of 14 and continue until about August of 15. Well, then we'll start bringing in people, and we figure about 5 months for move-in, and a lot of that's just because of the technology that's in there. On what our next steps are, we wanted to have this meeting with you so we could understand concerns and questions and things we need to be addressing. But then we also are planning to host a public meet and greet on September 11th. We've reserved the Houston Yacht Club. We'll be sending out letters to all the community members. Terry Crawford is here. She is my vice chancellor of, it's a whole list of things, marketing, public relations, and government affairs. And so she's been working through getting those addresses, which community members we should be inviting, and we'll do that from 6 to 8. Based on that, if we need more, we'll do more, but we thought this would be the first step with that. And we also are designating Terry as our liaison for the community so that if there's any issues, that they can be contacting her and they will get people to respond right away. The other people I have with me tonight is I have Frank Rizzo. And Frank is with Rizzo & Associates. He's our construction project manager. We've been in the middle of a $250 million bond program, and Frank has led those efforts. All that construction has been on our campus, but he has been leading our campuses, and he's leading this project also. And then the other one that's here with us tonight is Terry Hargis, and he's with Tellefson Construction. Tellefson will be the contractor on this project. They were awarded the contract from our board a couple of months ago, so now he's been working with our architect, with our project manager, and with all of our end users to make sure of the next steps. A couple of things I want to make sure I leave you with is I have concerns about how we work with the community and making sure we address your needs. I know traffic must be a concern, and traffic from a standpoint during the construction phase, but also traffic once we open. During the construction phase, I see the biggest pieces or impact of the traffic being during that site work period, with cement trucks and, you know, equipment to move equipment and or dirt. The other thing is the dirt itself. You know, we've talked with Tellefson about how we can try to control that dirt impact. You know, sweeping roads more frequently if we need to wet things down. And so Tellefson's building that into their plan also. And I guess the other piece that I want to make sure you know of, that is we want to be responsive. If there are issues that come up, you have Terry's contact information. Terry's will be the quickest one to be able to get answers on what's going on. And knowing that no issue is too small to be brought up. One of the things we've talked about with Tellefson is the hours of that people are doing work and how that can impact community members. At our South Campus, we built a new building right next to a subdivision, and we had those kinds of concerns in working with that subdivision. What are the best hours? Is it 7 to 5 or is it 8 to 5 where those kind of the noises won't impact people? And so we're going to have those kind of conversations, but we want to hear that from you also. And with that, I'm going to close and just ask the mayor if there's questions, how you want to handle that.
Certainly. Well, one thing I did want to point out, let me say thank you, first of all, for taking the time to come out and give us this wonderful presentation. But I also wanted to point out also that in our packages there's an FAQ that covers some of those questions that you may have. So please, if you have the opportunity, take a look at that. And I believe these are also available for public consumption as well. But if there are any other questions from council at this time, we'd be happy to entertain those. And then if there are none from council, we'll open those up.
Okay.
Citizens' questions or comments? Yes, sir.
Does your wetlands plan include
for anyone?
Wetlands or
fish? Yes. We've already put dollars, reserve dollars in a bank for the ones that we're mitigating. The wetlands down towards the end of the property that we're not mitigating, we're looking at what the next steps can be with that. For me, the big thing becomes how we start protecting that. And so we're looking at that piece of it also. That wasn't a mandatory piece for my construction program, but I believe that we need to address that somehow. And so we had conversations with the board and the office.
Do you not put a require you to create that to replace the number?
When we put dollars into the wetlands bank, that was for them to create and preserve other wetlands. And so we did that, Frank, I think we did that about 9 months ago, right at the time when you sent in the application. So we've already done that.
Okay, so you won't have to create one?
No, it'll be that we purchased it in advance. But again, my issue is that part of the end that I think we have addressed somehow.
Are there any other questions? So, yes, ma'am.
Johnny Day from Somebody.
Okay.
At any given moment, how many students can you expect to be coming?
Yeah. We have 184 parking spots. We anticipate the kind of classes that we teach that we would have about 100 students on campus at any one particular time. Now, we went with 184 because we also anticipate we'll be bringing some additional people out, so that would end up being the maximum. Not like the thousands I deal with on my other campuses, so, but it would be 100 to 200.
Yes, ma'am.
Since you bought that, we have to bring the charges of the students on the
Well, there's no direct monetary gain to the city. However, one of the things that I anticipate would be they have to staff it somehow. And there's potential for employment opportunities as well as potential residents that may choose Shore Acres as their community of choice. So that's some of the side benefit that I can think of right off.
We actually purchased it from the Port of Houston, but it's in the academy again.
Question on the students, are they mostly going to be from local, or do you expect them from, say, out of Harrisburg? Really, all I'm asking the question is, how many are going to be residing in this area? Or are they going to have to live in apartments?
Okay. I think it's a couple of things. First of all, this is the only maritime associate degree program in the state of Texas. Okay. And there is huge demand. We're already involved with marketing maritime jobs and the opportunities to high school and middle school students. So we do a maritime venture camp in the summer to try to get kids excited about what the opportunities are. They don't even realize what's happening in this industry, nor in some of the other industries. And so we work very closely with LaPorte on that right now in Pasadena and Houston. But the maritime camp is one of a kind, and so the kids we see are coming from all across the country. And so I see it's going to be a combination. I do hope we get the excitement, though, in our area high schools. I mean, because look at the heart of where we're at. So there will be one of the things in talking with industry is around where are the apartments for some of the incumbent workers also, or some of the apartments that some of the companies will be bringing people into that then the place to stay for hotels. And so we're looking at those options. Luckily, there's been a lot more hotels built in the LaPorte area, but it could get things even closer. So I think that would be an offshoot at some point down in the future that apartments or another hotel could be something that's needed.
Any other questions?
I don't want to sustain this.
Thank you very much, Chancellor. I appreciate you taking the time. Oh, I'm sorry.
I have one more
question. Nancy, you have one more question?
Yes. Okay, Vicki, a lot of the people in the city have seen damage to the roadways. This is heavy, but connected up with hurricanes and big trucks are coming in, heavy trucks. And so we're going to have that continuous traffic. And in part of my concern would be damage to our roadways, which, you know, working on it, but a lot of them are a little fragile as it is, and we're not used to having that type of weighted machinery. You do have to use storage or trouble streets to get to the building site. And so that is a concern to me. What route would you be taking? And then some sort of a monitoring system so that in the case of construction, it can be that there is additional, you know, if there's damage done to our street, especially the boulevard, because everybody can use that. You know, I mean, I would like to do some sort of thought putting into having an option to where we don't have taxpayers, we don't have any business here, and then the other thing was if on where this is situated, where they would end, where that alleyway is,
right?
So we call it Barefoot Alley.
Okay.
It used to be a little barefoot water street through there. There are homes directly across from that to the north, where that have launch pads, docks for their jet skis and everything. Will that interfere with their utilization of that waterway?
I'm not sure. I know the spot you're talking about. I'm sure there was a better way to do this, but maybe I don't have it.
That's Barefoot Alley.
Okay.
Go back to the last clip. That little inlet.
Am I moving it?
No, I'm
going to put it down. Okay. Something's going crazy. It was me.
Okay. I
mean,
I just
want to
make sure I'm reading that properly.
Is the Barefoot Alley on this side or on this side?
Well,
right in here, right?
Yeah.
There you go. Go to that.
Where it's not on this one.
It's not on
okay.
This one.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
This is the drain here.
Yeah. Okay, so
this is the back side.
So that's Barefoot Alley. Okay, never mind. As long as it's not going to mess with those footsteps, I just wanted to, I could not work that into it.
So is that area further?
Up
here, right?
Okay. Okay.
Outside of the frame.
Going into that. Yeah, I looked at that today wondering what went on there. So.
Yeah, see.
Okay.
Well, it used to be Barefoot Stairs until the alligators moved in.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right. Well,
thank you, Chancellor.
If there's anything
else you need, please call.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
One question.
Yes, please.
On that slide right there, you see where the drainage goes into the Bayport Channel there?
Yes.
What are y'all going to do
there? What we're doing right there is that's about 320 feet. We are going to widen it a little bit because it needs to be cleaned up about 15 feet. We'll put some metal sheeting in there on the east side. And then what we'll be doing is we'll have like a lifeboat davit in there. We'll do some light training in there. There will be a little dock right down here. But we've been doing studies to make sure that it won't have any negative impact on the drainage. We've worked with that flood control district also, and so we've been doing the homework around that. With what we're doing, it should have no impact.
Thank you, Chancellor.
Okay, thank you.
And once again, I'd like to point out that if there are any further questions from this point on, we'll have the meet and greet, and we'd be happy to see you out there on Wednesday, September 11th, between 6 and 8, and we also have the liaison appointed, so if there are any questions, please don't hesitate to forward those and get them addressed. Thank you.
We can stay if you'd like, or?
It's up to you. I will leave it to you.
Okay.
Very well. Thanks. Thank you. So the next item, item 4.0, approval of minutes. Item 4.1.
Thank you.
Regular council meeting August 12, 2013. Council has had an opportunity to review those minutes. I'll entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve August 12, 2013.
Rick, make a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Nancy. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Not appearing, the motion carries. Next item on the agenda is item 4.2. Council workshop meeting, August 19, 2013. Council has had an opportunity to review. I'll entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes of council workshop meeting August 19th, 2013.
Is there a second?
Second.
Great, thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Carries. Next item is 4.3, special council meeting, August 22nd, 2013. Stan, I do entertain a motion.
Make a motion to approve the council meeting August 22nd, 2013.
Great. That's a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? None appearing. The motion carries. Item 5.0 is council reports and I'm sorry, goodness. Council reports and requests. I attended the Maritime meeting that was presented. You were given the same information I was, so I hope you enjoyed that. I hope it was very informative. I tried to make sure that I addressed most of the concerns of the citizens at the time of the briefing, which is some of the items on the Q&A that they provided for us. But once again, if there are any other issues that are of concern to citizens, I highly encourage any and all to either give us a chance to get those addressed, or you can talk to the liaison directly with those folks. They're more than ready to help us out. Yes, sir.
That traffic light up there, I think it's going to have to be looked at again instead of having a blinker.
Stop the intersection of Broadway and Schwerin Boulevard. It's not a bad suggestion. I certainly will forward that to you as well. I don't know if that's a TxDOT requirement or
if sure it is.
Who looks at that, so it certainly is something to.
Will his information officially be related on contact information? Is there any information on the website?
Absolutely.
We're not able to attend it.
I was going to ask David to do that, but now that it's an official request, we're sure we can make that happen. Thank you very much. And that's all I have on council reports and requests. Public hearings and public comments at this time. Give the opportunity citizens comment on items which do not appear on the agenda. Is there any citizens who wish to address council? Please state your name and address. And Trustee Bowden. Yes, ma'am.
Darling Bay, a couple of thank yous. Thank you so much for passing the resolution for the board. And thank you for the date. I got the one in there with a little more, and I didn't even have to ask. Yes, it's just so that's not. My next concern is, and I do not know if y'all have done this in Martha Stevens area, but they have said that the Woodlands already has a case of West Nile, and they're also expecting injuries and stuff like that. So I really would hope y'all would consider on this And then final, I didn't get to make the FEMA meeting that they played off in New Year's Day, and I didn't know whether our city could have a city meeting and invite FEMA out. I know for the part of you that Wednesday night to explain to the community all the new rules and regulations, and thought maybe that would be a good way to get the information out to the ones that did not get to it. So, if you need a place, from I, my church gym, from Pastor City,
are there any other citizens wishing to address council at this time? If not appearing, we'll move to the next item on the agenda. Thank you, ma'am. Administrative reports, 7.1, City Administrator, General Activity Report, Dave.
Good evening. We've needed some rain, so it's hard to complain, but we've had some weather delays with several of our projects. we were supposed to be removing base and laying asphalt one after the other, But because of the rain, they started removing the 2 inches of asphalt last week, at the end of the week, and they continue that today even in the rain, but we've not laid any new asphalt yet. So that period of time in which the streets are rough and milled, it's likely to extend while the weather continues to be bad before we put asphalt down. Other delay, last week we were supposed to get fences installed at Waterfront 1 and Lift Station 1. We had crews show up and survey that work, but no work started. So as soon as we get some clear weather, I think we'll get back on the fences. Likewise, we were scheduled today for R&D construction to start the fill and flush of our groundwater storage tanks at Waterfront 1. And that also did not start today. And also today scheduled was the replacement of the Public Works roof, which they have told us would start today, weather permitting. That's a 6-day job, and so they're not going to want to peel the steel off and put the purlins in and new steel until they are relatively confident they'll have at least 4 or 5 days of clear weather. So we'll have to watch the weather channel and see when we're going to get a roof on a Public Works building. Other than that, they're queued up. On the community rating system for our flood insurance discount, we've finally seen a restart of that on their side. The person who handles the entire state of Texas for CRS retired a few months ago, and they've just assigned us to a CRS specialist in Florida. And so I've had an exchange of more than a dozen emails and a couple phone conversations with our new Florida specialist, and it looks like we're getting back on track. The mayor signed some updated paperwork with the change in council, so that's in line. And I expect this week to hear where we are in that process. Hopefully we haven't lost any ground. I don't have any expectation we did. Also, the 5-year hazard mitigation action plan cycle is up. As you may recall, the hazard mitigation plan is a requirement for all federal grants. And we certainly want to keep in that program now having got back in. The first meeting is tomorrow with Harris County kicking that program off. And that is the administrative report. If there are no questions, I move to the financial report.
Any questions from council?
Very good. In your packet, item 7.2 are the pages on the financial. And you can see that our CDBG funds that we had temporarily over the end of the month prior at 49,927 are now gone, and we're back down to the number we will continue to see slowly erode, which is $1,700 of our funds. In the checking balances, you can see that the general fund is $127,000 at the end of the month, utility fund is $64,000, and the service deposits are $136,000. And my expectation is that this week we'll be doing a transfer of those widowed service deposit funds that belong to the city, the cities, to the utility fund. So you'll see somewhere in the neighborhood of $50,000 to $60,000 transfer this month. In text pool, our text pool balance continues to be stable, earning a whopping $43 a month on $1 million. But we do have $954,000 in that account. Our certificate deposit balance is about $250,000. Our sales tax revenue continues to be up again. We have seen a sales tax increase over the prior year, same month, every single month this fiscal year. The lowest being 11%, or 10%, and this month being 20%. So that's very healthy. We have 2 more months of sales tax to collect, and we are already within 3% of our budgeted revenues. So we will certainly exceed budget revenues. On the last page of the financial is the property tax, and there was a collection. We lost almost $65,000 on our taxable values, which is incidental. And we have collected now, to date, $820,293, which puts us 3% over what we were budgeted. Of course, August and September are not high collection months, but we might see another $9,000 or $10,000 come in, putting us over what the budget estimate was for property tax.
In your packet, you should have, if you don't have a generalist, you should have this general information of the audit committee. Raise your hand, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
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 Okay. Stretch that up for me.
Thank you, ma'am.
Just a brief synopsis of what we went over, and special thanks to Diane. And Charlotte Wells also, basically, for helping us out, Ms. Snell, Councilman Snell, Councilman Snell, excuse me, going through this. Give you an idea, on the 17th of July of 2013, we met with Mr. John Manning, who's one of the executive partners in the MERF, the above firm that they used, the auditors. Through that course of the two meetings that we had, my understanding from the city, talking to Mr. Stahl, and Mr. Manning, they had never had an auditor meet with an audit committee. There was really no real set audit committee really before people meeting together. So it was nice to have a couple of council people along with citizens in there to make this work. Along through the information we gathered, basically you can read through, I won't go through a long list of things, but all the details are in here. There was a couple of discrepancies that were found along the way that were all addressed by the city. Number 2012, number one condition, reading that through accruals that were made through the year of receivables. It was explained to us by David basically what exactly happened and the current status is there for you to go through the general information. 2012, a condition which we had noticed during the water department, the general ledger and the balances were not there. We were able to go through that and figure out what that cause was. And then 2012-3, a final note going over corrective measures. The cost of the complete audit was $28,000. This includes the additional information they had to add, which is A-133 during the audit requirements. At the very bottom on the second page, you'll notice it says recommendation. Shoreacres Audit Committee recommended that the council and mayor require the correction at the discrepancies of the city administrator within reasonable time, which this was all done and taken care of. What our action here is going through this general information for the future budget and audits is basically for this to be sort of a landmark to start off with for the further up down the road for people to go through and understand this is what we found before, this is what shouldn't happen any longer. It was very forthcoming meeting with Mr. Manning. He was very knowledgeable. We were very happy with his firm. He gave us a very nice pamphlet. All of us, he had it printed out for us. Went over every general information that we had, any questions we had, he answered. He offered his services to even come back and meet with the audit committee a second time. We didn't feel that was really necessary, and that was not an additional cost. All the questions we did have were answered. We had very clear answers to it. We were very happy with that. Overall, I believe the audit, as far as the committee, went very well. But once again, I want to thank Diane and Charlotte for helping us. Without their help, we never got it done. Especially Diane, special thanks to you.
And that's all.
Well,
thank you very much.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much for your assistance. It's a type of citizen involvement that really helps us become a better community. My hat's off to you for that. Are there any questions from council concerning the audit report? Does any citizens wish to comment or have any questions on the audit report? Thank you, Rick.
Moving on to business 8.1, consideration and approval of invoices. Council had a chance to review the bills. And if so, I will certainly entertain a motion at this time.
I'll make a motion to approve the bills.
Rick, is there a second?
Second.
Mike, the motion has been probably seconded. Is there all in favor? Please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Thank you. Item 8.2, consideration and action to accept a proposal from T.O. Brown and Hill to perform a financial audit for general fund fiscal year ending 2013 and utility fund fiscal year ending 2013, including compliance with the same water data requirement for federal funds received and adoption of ordinance number 2013-138, authorizing the mayor to sign the review agreement. David?
Yeah, this is the same firm that has performed our budget for just the last couple years. Total audits, although the first year they did two audits in a single year. We've been happy with the work that they've done for the city. The audit committee was happy with the presentation and the information they received from the auditing firm. We've requested and they've tendered a proposal, which is in your packet. And they're keeping the same pricing structure as they had in the current year budget.
Council's had a chance to review the ordinance. Open for discussion. Are there any questions, comments, concerns? Council, at this time? Yes, ma'am.
That's my personal rule of thumb. I prefer to change auditors by 6 years. In terms of cost effectiveness and in terms of thoroughness of the audit, 3 years is really the minimum. If they know they have 3 years, then you get a better pricing on the audit. They have to relearn. And at the other end of that, after.
Okay, open it up for citizen comment. Not appearing, we'll certainly entertain a motion at this time. Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Not appearing. Motion passes. Next item on the agenda is item 8.3, consideration, discussion, and action to propose a property tax rate that exceeds the effective tax rate. This is the standard housekeeping where we have to pass it before we can do anything about it. If we don't pass it, then nothing can happen. If we have to raise taxes and we don't pass this, then we can't. It's a simple before the horse type thing, but at this time I don't see any intention of raising taxes, but unless we put the intent out there and go through all the proper procedures, then even if we needed to, we could. So at this point in time, I'd like to open it up for discussion for council. Out of 8.3.
Mayor, there is some new information that just came in today that's in the packet of our 8.3.
Would you be so kind as to enlighten us?
I will be happy to.
Thanks, sir.
The Harris County Appraisal District has provided us with a certified roll. As you may have heard me say before, state statute requires a certified roll to be prepared and delivered by July 25th each year. I don't know that Harris County has ever made that date. There is a provision that if a percentage of the total parcels are under protest, that date can be delayed. And so it is not uncommon for us to get it late in August and even early in September. But that did arrive. You have a copy of that letter. Since we contract with LaPorte, with Catherine Powell as our assessor collector, it goes to her and then she forwarded it to me. I talked to her on the phone Friday and I knew this was coming. It arrived today. If you look on the back of the page, the first page there, that's the certification of our tax roll. And you can see that our appraised value is $85 million. And the taxable value, that's after you take out the tax exempt and the exemptions that people have, such as homestead or over 65, then we have $79 million that are on the rolls today as taxable value. There's another $12 million that are currently under protest. We cannot use that number when we do the effective tax rate calculation, and this is how we routinely set a tax rate and collect more tax than the tax rate would appear to generate, because then when that comes back, and a portion of that comes back on the rolls, we're not penalized. We get the benefit of that. All that said, there's a sheet on the calculation and some of the other numbers to give you a breakdown on some of our property values. We have not calculated the effective tax rate yet. I can tell you that a 1% increase of taxes will generate approximately $8,000 of general funds for the city. So, it does it take a big percentage increase to generate serious revenue. The limit is 8%. If you go to 8% or more, then you're in the rollback zone, and the taxpayers can cause a rollback election, which would be a loss for us because it would cost a substantial portion of the gain just to hold the election. And if you were to lose the election, then you would not only have to pay for that, but you would be back to last year's rate. All that said, you are absolutely correct. If you want to entertain or you want to have the flexibility to establish any tax rate at all, change in the future as we work on the budget year, then we have to take a vote to consider tax increase at this point and then set dates for those hearings. Yes.
Is there any further discussion from council? Citizens input, yes, sir.
Jerry Baker, 3946. The city appraised value was $79 million. Has it gone up or down since last year?
It's $85 million appraised, $79 million taxable. And half year last year's number. Last year the taxable value was $89 million. So it is a decrease of $10 million.
So what that would equate to is then to make up that loss in comparison to last year to this year, then the taxes increase, is that correct?
When we get into the effective tax rate calculation, it's based on dollars and not percentages. So if you leave the same properties, if the value went up, your tax rate would go down. The value went down, your tax rate goes up. But the dollars that each property pays would be the same. That is homogenized. If a individual property goes up or down above or below the mean, they will pay proportionally more or less for their individual tax.
Do you have any idea how many would the average 60% of the property went down, 40% went up? Do we have any of that information? I, you don't need to dig it up. I just wanted to have it. you don't have it, maybe you can bring it up in the next meeting.
Well, we've got the certification today. I've given council the first four pages, which are the summary. The document is about 35 pages, and it gives it by types of property. I don't know that it, at that point, breaks it down to individual property, but all that's available.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Yes, ma'am. For the appraisal district information that's provided?
Well, yes and no. I mean, you don't have to get the information, but you have to request the information to get it. And it is 10 cents a page for the copies if you want to take it away with you. And we can scan it and email it to you for nothing. So, it's Mr. Johnson. I don't believe I have your email address, but if you'll email me, I'll send it to you.
Are there any other questions? Very well. Then at this time, I'll entertain a motion.
No, it is a vote, but what you have to make a motion for is to propose a tax rate that exceeds the effective tax rate. And there's no numbers involved, it's just you're proposing a tax rate that exceeds the effective tax rate.
We have to do it
according
to what
we're doing. Okay, I'll make a motion to propose a property tax rate that exceeds the effective tax rate.
Second. All right, second, Mike. Thank you very much. I have a motion that's been approved. Okay, seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. All those opposed?
Opposed.
Stephen, if you'd like, you may give your reasoning.
I think if a family was to bring in less money, they need to get money. If the city is bringing in less money, they need to get money.
No, sure. With the majority aye, the motion carries.
And just for clarification, this is one of the odd things in the law. I am required to capture each vote, and it will be published in the papers who voted for and against.
Thank you. Item 8.4, consideration and action to schedule public hearings on the property tax rate increase. This is another component of the housekeeping. This is how we passed item 8.3, 8.4 then gives us the ability to schedule that hearing. And we'll certainly entertain any type of comments or questions at this time. Any citizens' comments, questions?
Yes, sir. Proposed dates about
a
lot of community interest in it. The project
came the state.
Right.
Yeah. This meeting happened after proposed to increase the tax rate?
There's a one of the things that we have in front of us that I apologize you may not have in front of you is the required schedule and what our budget schedule currently looks like. And David, can you speak to the timing of when the required to take place?
Yeah, the truth in taxation law requires us to have two public hearings before tax rate is set. There are windows in which those occur. Requires this meeting to announce in advance the vote to consider a tax increase, and then to hold those meetings. Can't have the meeting now for minimum number of days and a maximum number of days, and they can't be too close together. That said, that overlays when we publish in the newspaper. We publish in the Houston Chronicle, and we do it on Thursday because we get a preferred rate. And the notices also have to go so much in advance of each meeting, or not too far in advance, so that the public is well informed. When you overlay all those, we end up with a very finite period of time which they fall. So the two dates that they're looking at right now for those hearings will be August 29th and September 3rd. September 3rd is a Tuesday.
Okay.
which is unusual for us, but because of that, again, the requirements of the spacing of the law, it forces it to a Tuesday, whereas August 29th falls on a Thursday. If there were any way we could do it on a Monday, it would be on a Monday, but we just end up boxed in.
Okay, so we're looking at scheduling this meeting on a proposed property tax rate. When that notice goes out, will the existing tax rate and the proposed tax rate be in the notice so we can know what we're looking at from the citizen? That's what you'll be deciding on, so we have some idea what's happening. I could go to my appraisal district and get my existing tax rate. I want to know what your proposed tax rate is going to be, and that's, would that be part of the notice that comes out for the public hearing?
And the answer to that is no, and that we are prohibited
from. It'd be a surprise to us when we walk in. And
well, there's.
I'm hoping not.
There's actually three meetings. The two meetings that we're setting now are public hearings, and no decisions are made. Then there is a third meeting for adopting the tax rate, which also gets the same notices and all. That will be on September 23rd. The city cannot set a tax rate until they have adopted a budget by law. So you have to adopt your budget before you set the tax rate. And this is another one of the issues that make it necessary for us to do this way and have the discretion.
I know you explained it to me in the past, but each time we're here,
it's just as confusing.
It's still a bit confusing on this side as well, and I appreciate you asking the question. And then if there are any further questions about this process, we'll be happy to work with you, give us a call, or what have you, and we'll be happy to get those addressed.
Thank you, ma'am.
Many after the second public hearing, will we know then, or not till we meet?
Budget comes first.
That's not to say we won't know what the budget number is looking like. I mean, it's.
Would we kind of have an idea?
Sure, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, we just won't vote on it. But as soon as the budget is finished, they'll know what funding is required to make the budget work, and that'll all be discussed. Also, in the paper, one of the things that's printed and will be available is that effective tax rate calculation. So you'll know what all the numbers are that are going into that formula.
Repeat the dates again?
Yes, sir.
I think you said 8/29?
Yes, sir.
This week?
August 29th on Thursday.
That notice is already put in the paper?
That one is. Oh, I'll have to look back and see where we're at. It goes to the paper today.
Yes, sir. That was actually my point also. We're kind of.
Yes. Right.
So you've already contacted?
We do it by email. We send it to them. They get it placed. It'll be placed tonight. If they voted here, it'll appear Thursday.
Any other questions, comments? Very well. This time I'll entertain motion. Council?
Make a motion to approve 8.4 consideration action schedule public hearing for property tax increase.
Second.
Motion has been properly seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? No hearing. Motion carries. Item 8.5, consideration approval of resolution number 2013-120, authorizing the city administrator to contract for moving services.
Yes, we have lost the contractor that we had that was mowing our public properties. That's the median, the waterfront at Miramar, the parks, some of our water and wastewater facilities, the city hall grounds, the police department grounds. And we had a very favorable rate with the last contractor, and we had known that it was a favorable rate and had budgeted more money in the budget than we were paying. And that's fortunate, although now we're so late in the fiscal year, it wouldn't cause as much of a problem as it is. But we got five quotes. You have copies of the quotes in your packet, along with a memorandum from the Public Works director of what those quotes came in at. And the recommendation is Gabby's Tree Service. We quoted us $22,500 per year. They all quoted the same services of 21 mowings a year. And that would be paid on an annual rate paid monthly. So there is a schedule in here of what months they mow twice and what months they mow once. And yet the payments would be in equal payments for the course of the next year. The timing is actually pretty good for us because it will allow us to go out for quotes and rebid that work in future fiscal years before we button up the budget. And my understanding is that the proposal from Gabby's Tree Service is to provide that price for 3 years with no increase. So we're not locked into that, but we do have that pricing on their proposal for 3 years.
So you're locked in for 3 years on that price?
Yes.
You said it was for 21. I'm looking at Brad, and it's 42.
The packet that you have, he just quoted that, and tonight's packet, the material that you've got, is his corrected. The only thing that's different is the number of mowings. The price stayed the same.
Have we gotten, I know it's a good price when you start looking around, but have we gotten any references from anybody or any other entities that they're doing for their service?
Oh, Gabby's Tree Service? We've used Gabby's Trees for 5 years now.
Okay.
You used to clean up greenup, correct?
Yes, they were our curbside chipper for cleanup greenup. They're one of three different tree companies that we contract with for tree removal. They don't have any particular right to the business, so when we do the tree removals, we put it out every time.
Okay.
And they've been, so we've got a history with them. They've done us good.
Yeah.
I just have a question. In full disclosure, Gabby is a good friend of my family, so I was going to we are to vote on who we are deciding.
And, well, actually, tonight we're just voting to authorize the mayor to enter into an agreement. So, or actually, me. So.
Yeah, and just to address your issue, I believe there's a form that you can fill out and you can get there.
I don't feel like I'm being biased. I just want to pull the show that we do know him and get into the market.
And I've kind of looked into that component as far as my budget and this is concerned. And there is, I'm going to, when we have a chance, I'll forward you that section so that you know where we're, if it comes up again, you'll have the tools to be successful. Are there any other questions for council at this time? Very well. Welcome to citizens' comments. Yes, sir.
Chair Victor, 3346 Miramar. I have a packet of information and a proposal. All the proposals except one are for 21 mowings a year. And the other one, Holloway's, was for 42 mowings. Now, one is doing 21. It's going to be much cheaper than the other one that was doing 42.
I think in this case, we need to balance what we're proposals are for. Do we go out and say 21 mowings a year? Do we go out and cut, say, 30 or 42? If you look at Holloway's at 42 mowings per year, it's going to be a lot cheaper. What's that?
Yeah, I'm correct with Calvin.
Correction?
Yes. Because the correction was for 21.
So he's on 21?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I can well understand your logic on that, and you're absolutely right as far as comparing apples to apples.
But I guess the next question is 21 mowings is sufficient, I guess. I guess it is, because you say that's what they've done in the past.
Right, and it's not all, it's not two or two a month. It's staged during the appropriate time frames, more so in the summertime and less so in the non-growing seasons.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Very welcome. Are there any other questions from citizens at this time? Very well. Be happy to entertain a motion.
Make a motion that we approve resolution 2013-120 authorizing the city administrator to contract for mowing services.
Okay. All those in favor say aye. All those opposed? Not appearing, the motion carries. And we are adjourned.